We are going to continue our study in the book of Isaiah, and today we are exploring an interesting question. This is what I want to answer today.
I have no idea why it's not working.
This is what I'm going to look at today. What are five signs your country is going down the toilet? And what should you do when it's happening? What are five signs that you might see in your culture where your culture is going morally bankrupt? What are those signs? How do you know if it's happening? And then more importantly, what are you to do as a follower of Jesus Christ in that situation? We're going to look at five signs first to start off with, and we'll talk about how we respond to that. So let's just go right into it and talk about the five signs your country is going down the toilet. Sign number one has to do with godless leaders. Look at Isaiah 56, verses 9 through 13. Isaiah 56, verses 9 through... It's only 12. I don't know why I put 13 there. All you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying around, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one of them for his own gain, from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. The first sign you know your country is going down the toilet is this. There is godless leadership. What do we see in this passage? There's actually three examples, three illustrations that Isaiah gives to the nation of Israel that describes their leaderships. The first one is a watchman. What is a watchman? Watchman's on the wall, watching out into the surrounding area to protect the people inside the wall from any dangers outside of it. Well, what happens, or how effective is that person when they're blind? They're useless, right? The second example he gives is you're like a dog that cannot bark, or a dog that cannot be satisfied with food, or sleeps around all the time. Now, if you have a dog, one of the purposes of a dog, except for now into our day and age, my dog doesn't fit this exactly, is to, some of you are laughing because I got one of those designer dogs, I call them, that are like really small and they like to yap a lot, but like the fence of a dog like that, you just kick it, right? And it just go flying. I would never do that to my dog, but I'm saying, I mean, a dog that cannot bark, what good is it to defend the family home? A dog who sleeps all the time, what good is it? A dog who is always hungry all the time and looking for what to eat and doesn't listen to its master, what good is it? And a shepherd who wants to do whatever they want to do and go get drunk and has no care for the sheep, what happens to the sheep? They get eaten by wolves. So what Isaiah is doing here is he's looking at the Israelites and saying, one of the signs you can tell that your country is going down the toilet is your leadership across the board is failing you, both politically and religiously. And when that starts happening, when you get leaders into office or serving in particular roles, a culture or a country will slowly go down the slope of immorality. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. One of the main reasons why God judged them, and his judgment was sending the Babylonians, and even the Assyrians in 722 BC, and the Babylonians in 605 to 586 BC, was to punish them for their idolatry. And one of the main groups of people he blames for that are the leaders. So the first sign is godless leaders. What is the second sign your country is going down the toilet? Look at Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perish, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. The second sign that you know your country is going down the toilet is a cold heart in your society. Isaiah here is particularly looking at the group of people who are the majority in this country of theirs, Israel, and saying, look at how you even treat or think about people who are actually doing good in your society. You don't even notice that they're falling away, that they're being taken away from your culture. In fact, you might even see them as the enemy of your culture. Good people stand up for what is right, what is just, what is righteous. And they're standing against the wave of oppression and immorality. And when they are taken away, you don't even care. In fact, this passage implies that God actually removes those people from that culture so they don't have to even experience the evil. That death is better for them than remain in a society that is going down the toilet. That's scary. So how do you know your country is going down the toilet? One, godless leaders. Two, your culture has a cold heart. And this actually kind of dives and ties into what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 12, in the end times, the love of many will grow cold, right? We'll talk about if we see this in our culture, but let's keep focusing on Israel and get these five signs, and then we'll look at America. So first sign your country's going down the toilet is godless leadership. Second sign is it has a cold heart. What's the third sign that your country is going down the toilet? Look at verses 3 through 6 in chapter 57. But come here, you sons of the sorceress, you offspring of the adulterer and the harlot. Whom do you ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, offspring of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion. They are your lot. Even to them you have poured out a drink offering. You have offered a grain offering. Should I receive comfort in these? The third sign that your country is going down the toilet is godless practices. As we look in this passage, we see a lot of godless practices actually occurring, specifically within the Israelite nation at this time that Isaiah is writing this, about 700 BC. There was a lot of bad kings that led people to idolatry. What they would do is they would look out into the surrounding nations and cultures around them and adopt them into their own way of worshiping God, because they figured the way you deal with the world, the way you have favor from the gods, is to try to manipulate them by offering sacrifices and doing things that will make them happy. And so what happened is there's a whole culture that came in and infected the Israelites, and it added to their religion of worshiping the one true God. And it happened little by little at first. And then it became so prevalent in the culture that even these children of harlots and sorcerers and basically people who are worshiping these idols, saying the generations have been infected by this, and now they even laugh and mock the things of God. They outright laugh at them. They don't even care that that's righteousness. In fact, they'll call it something opposite to that. They'll call it evil. And they'll laugh at them for believing that those things are true. And they go all the way to worshiping things in the hillsides, down to the streams. When it says among the smooth rocks of the stream is your portion, simply meaning they're going down even to the rivers to worship idols, and they're going up to the mountains to worship idols. Everywhere they go, everywhere in their life, there are idols that they worship. You pour out drink offerings to them, grain offerings. These are the things that should have been reserved to God, and yet you're offering them to other people. So the third sign that your country is going down the toilet is it starts to develop godless practices. First, you have these godless leaders that don't protect the people from godless practices. The people's heart become cold, and now they're involving themselves in practices which they ought not to do. What's the fourth sign that your country is going down the toilet. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 57, and we're going to go to verses 7 through 10. On a lofty and high mountain, you have set your bed. And I want you to underline every time you see bed in these next few verses. Even there, you went up to offer sacrifice. Also behind the doors in their post, you have set up your remembrance. For you have uncovered yourself to those other than me and have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and have made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed when you saw their nudity. You went to the king with ointment and increased your perfumes. You sent your messengers far off and even descended to Sheol. You were weary in the length of your ways, yet you did not say, "There is no hope." You have found the life of your hand, therefore you were not grieved. The fourth sign that your country is going down the toilet is it sleeps in a bed of lies. What's happening here in the Jewish culture is they have made their foundation, made the bed in which they rest all their worldviews in the lie of polytheism, and that you can manipulate the gods to get what you want. And we see here that they've set their beds in the high mountains. They've even remembered to worship these idols by setting things inside their homes, even the beams in their homes. And this is supposed to help us think of what the Israelites kind of did from practices about how they would write things on their posts to remember God and honor Him. But they're not doing that with God anymore. The very foundations of their house are now filled with idolatry and lies that lead them away from God. And when they look out into the world, they're enthralled by what they see of these other worldviews. Gets them excited. In fact, they're like, oh, I really want this in my life. Let me extend the foundation of how I view the world so that it includes more and more of the worldviews that I see out there. It's kind of that idea of syncretism where it's like, let me bring more and more of these ideas. All religions go to God, right? They all worship the same God. You're all praying to the same God. So let me just bring this in so I'm covering all my bases, and I'll cherry pick which I want to choose to follow and stuff. But this will become my foundation of how I view life, and then I will worship from that foundation. It even goes to the extreme. Isaiah uses a hyperbole here that you go to the king, the highest person you can go to in a society. It might even be referring to some pagan gods like Molech, who was an Ammonite god that was evil. But you also descend to Sheol, which is the land of the dead. He's saying from the highest position to the lowest way, you're looking for ways to view the world and believe how it works and how it operates and who you should worship. Your worldview is being developed by things that are not God. So what are you doing? You're cherry-picking them from all over the place. And then, after you get all those things, in verse 10, it says you're wearied in the length of your ways. That's a hard job, trying to understand the world with all these other worldviews that are out there, even in our culture today. You're cherry-picking. What do you believe? What do you believe? I'm trying to figure out, how do I make sense of this world? How do I live in this world? Where do I belong? What do I do? Where did I come from? And God's saying, like, you're going out there cherry-picking all these other religions or worldviews in the world, and it's exhausting, and it's not really helping settle your heart, but it's become an addiction almost. I need this. And it wears you out, but at the end of it, you don't come to the conclusion that there is no hope. In fact, you double down on it, and when it says you have found the life of your hands, you are renewed again, saying, well, I just need to try harder. I'm going to look a little bit harder. No, this is true. I need to believe this, even though it goes against how I actually operate in life. No, this is the truth. I won't believe what they want to believe about God. This is the truth. And you're not grieved that you're disobeying God and straying far from Him. So the fourth sign that your country is going down the toilet is it sleeps in a bed of lies. Let's look at the fifth sign that your country is going down the toilet. Look at verse 11, and we're going to go through the first part of chapter or verse 13. Verse 11, "And of whom have you been afraid or feared, that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness in your works, for they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. But the wind will carry them away. A breath will take them." The fifth sign that your country is going down the toilet is that it does not fear God. When your country stops fearing God, it all falls apart. And we see God actually asking that question of them. Why are you not afraid of me? Why do you lie to me? Why do you forget about me? And he actually tells them, is it because I actually withheld my judgment from you and I was silent and allowing you the time to repent and come back to me that makes you think I've forgotten about you and therefore do not exist or that I do not care? He's trying to help them realize, no, my time of patience and silence was to give you a chance to turn back to me, not for you to go further down into the toilet. And so he says, fine, you know, there's going to be a day where you're judged. And you will bring your righteous deeds before me, and they will not save you on that day of judgment. You think you are doing righteous acts, that you are upholding justice, but it is not any of those things. You have perverted it. You are sleeping in a bed of lies. You've called it something else and believing it is justice and righteousness, and it is not. Those are the five signs that your country is going down the toilet. Godless or bad leadership, a cold heart, godless practices, a bed of lies, and no fear of God. When we look at Israel, they definitely checked all those boxes. And as a result, he had told them centuries beforehand what would happen if they would break his Mosaic covenant, that there would be judgment, and they didn't listen. And because their country was going down the toilet, he punished them. He punished the northern nation of Israel in 722 BC by the Assyrians. He punished the southern nation of Judah 605 to 586 BC by the Babylonians. But their righteous deeds, their budded lies that they slept in, could not save them from God's wrath. And that had me thinking, and I want you to be involved in this part of the message today, those of you at home as well. How do we as America look when we look at these five signs that a country is going down the toilet? Now, I know that we are all subjective. We have a very limited idea of everything that's going on in our country, although we try to keep it up on the news. Some of us don't want anything to do with it. We like to live in ignorance. But we do have some perspective on perhaps where America is at on these five signs. So what I want to do right now is just see where you all land. We're going to do something very Roman. At least, I don't know if maybe somebody developed this earlier. But in the Roman Colosseum, do you guys remember, like, from Gladiator, it would be like, he's good or he's dead, right? We're going to use that sign. Those of you at home, I hope you participate as well. And let's just talk about how we are doing as Americans when we look at our country in these five areas. Now, one thing we have to remember, though, America is not God's chosen country or God's chosen people. We are not under the old covenant that the Israelites were under. So they suffered punishment because they were God's chosen people and had a covenant with God that was conditional, that their country would be basically wiped out and cursed if they didn't follow the covenant that he made with Moses. So just because we are failing maybe at all of these or at some of these doesn't mean we're going to suffer the same things the Israelites did. Do you guys understand that? It's a new covenant now under Jesus Christ. It's unconditional. It's not tied necessarily to a particular group of people, although it comes from the Jews, right? So I want to just evaluate America and see if any of these five signs show up in our understanding of our culture and our society, and ask ourselves, is our country going down the toilet? And if so, what should I do if it's happening? So let's talk about bad leadership or godless leadership. I want you to be brave. I know we have introverts in the crowd, but I want you to be brave, and I want you to give me, no, we're good, we're okay, or yeah, we're doing terrible. So down is, yeah, you think it's in our culture and that we got bad leadership or godless leadership. Come on, I need to see everybody's finger. Come on, participate. All right, good, okay. I don't see a lot of fingers sticking up. Oh, boy. Okay, so when it comes to godless leadership or bad leadership, we say in our small sample size, doing some statistics, that about 99% of you think that America has bad leadership or godless leadership. And we might even say that it's on both aisles of the political spectrum, that it doesn't just meet one group, or maybe we would say it just meets one group. But we would say that, for the most part, our leadership has gone more and more towards the godless side and not the ones going and following who God is or standing up for justice and righteousness. Okay. So we would put a check there. How about, does our country have a cold heart? This means we're doing terrible, we got a cold heart. This means, no, I think we're pretty good, we're okay. It's okay, don't worry, this isn't a right or wrong, it's okay. And don't go along with the crowd. You know, if you think that we're okay, we have a warm heart, we love people, we help people, you put that thumb up, all right? Go ahead, show me real quick. I wanna just kind of take a survey. I see some, maybe half. I see some youth probably just playing with me, probably. No, that's okay. I think we do some things. Okay, so it was more like about 60% bad. Some of you were doing the half, which I didn't tell you you could do, but you're just being rebels. A couple of you did have a thumbs up. So let's just say, you know, it's about 50-50, more leaning towards bad and not doing so well. So I would agree with you a little bit in that. I do think there are some things about our culture. And it's partly because not just us Christians are in it, but because it's a part of American culture, is to love your neighbor a little bit and care about people. Even on social media, I see this with people who we might differ with politically or religiously. They still have this conscience that God has given them, that they do know that goodness is real and I ought to be doing some things that are good and nice to other people. But we also see the other extreme in our culture, especially with social media now. People are just terrible. Aren't they? I mean, it's allowed this computer or our phones have allowed us to hide behind a screen and not have a relationship with someone that we have to tell them what we think of them in person. What's that nature? Okay, thank you, Jeff. What's that nature we all have? Sin nature. But we have another nature that we got when we put faith in Jesus Christ. What is that called? It starts with an N, ends with a W, has an E in the middle. New nature, right? So I want to make sure I say that, and then I'm not only harping that all you got is a sin nature. But we do understand, we're looking at our culture, yeah, we have a cold heart. And we would even say, you know, Jesus said as the time approaches to his second coming, whether or not we're there yet or it's got a few more years or hundreds of years, but he did say, yeah, the love of most would start growing cold. And I think some of us see that in the interactions of people. Although, if you go back in our history in America, people were nasty to each other. Just read some of the letters the founding fathers wrote to each other. They were mean, okay? Before social media, they had social media. They just kind of said it to their face, that's all. So every culture is going to have a cold heart in some aspect. The question is it going to the point that we see in our passage where people don't even care that righteous people, people who actually care about goodness, are dying? When people don't even care that good people are dying, that's a pretty low place in a culture. Let's look at the third sign your country's going down the toilet. Do we have bad practices in our country today? So again, yeah, our country's doing terrible, or no, we're pretty good, we're pretty good. So show of hands, come on. Those of you at home, please participate as well. I can see, nope, you didn't raise your hand, come on. Oh, there you go, okay. All right, man, you guys are really downers, okay. Okay, so I saw a lot of thumbs down. We're doing bad. We have godless practices. And I would agree with you that there are many godless practices we have in our culture that seem to be developing over time. And it hasn't happened just at all at once. It's developed. You know what's really funny? We were talking about this. I can't remember who I was talking about it. So thank you, whoever, if you remember. You know, we talk about today like, oh man, this generation coming up, they just don't get it. They're terrible. Our country's going down the toilet. If they can't get their act together. Do you know that they've said that every single generation all the way back? So maybe we're a little biased. But if we said one of the practices, I mean, we have bad practices. Every culture, every society, every country has some bad practices. And one that we need to be careful that we don't affirm or fall into is there is a worldview that's going on right now that says, make me happy and make sure you affirm the way of life that I want to live. That is the greatest way you can love a person, if you affirm whatever lifestyle or worldview they want to take. Now, of course, that doesn't apply to Christians, because we have the wrong worldview. But in their mind, everything else should be affirmed, and that's the greatest way you love someone. And we have some bad practices in our culture, although the Supreme Court did change it, amazingly. I think of abortion. We read in our passage about child sacrifices. In a sense, it's not done in the same way, but when you are destroying the life of a human being so that your worldview, how you want to live, can be a reality, you are sacrificing a child for your own needs or wants. And yes, I take that position, abortion is wrong, it's a human life. So we have some practices. We have practices in the church that probably are bad too. You know how we sometimes get some information on someone, and we're like, and you call up your friend, and you're like, I don't want to gossip. But did you hear what's happening with Pastor Peter? Oh, girl, I can't tell. I can't say it. Don't tell me. I'm a Christian woman. So what happened? Yeah. So we have some bad practices too. And we need to repent and turn from those. But yeah, when godlessness infiltrates a society and more the way we live changes to fit a worldview that is absolutely opposed to God and unjust and unrighteous, the more and more culture changes and adopts those practices, the more and more it's going down the toilet. So we would say, yeah, America, put a check mark by that one, probably. How about the bed of lies, sleeping in a bed of lies? Are we doing good? Or do we have the truth, or are we going down the toilet? All right, those of you at home, oh my goodness, you guys are so depressing. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people might be sleeping in a bed of lies and they don't even know it. It's sort of like ignorance, or maybe even they do know it, but they don't care. Not that they're going to promote something. They're like, yeah, that's not good, but you know what? I don't want to do anything about it. So it's more apathy. It's kind of like, don't have the energy to deal with that. But we do have some worldviews that are very opposed to God. You have the humanistic, naturalistic worldview that is the belief that humans are inherently good and there is no such thing as supernatural, either like a god or supernatural events. We have a utilitarian worldview that we can even get caught up in as Christians. Utilitarian is sleeping in a bed of lies that an action is right or good if it promotes the greatest happiness. So we say, if this produces the most good or makes the most people happy, therefore it must be right. That is not how we should be looking at the world. God says something very different, but this utilitarian kind of worldview has popped up in our culture. Let's even get and kind of maybe hit closer to home. How about a capitalistic worldview? Capitalism it can go really bad. It can be founded on greed, that profits are the greatest goal, not people. Yeah, that's evil. That's an evil practice. It's not wrong to make money, but when you put that in front of people, I think God said, what is the root of all evil? The love of money, yes. Or we have the woke worldview that has popped up in the last few years that sleeps in the bed of lies that racism is the root of everything. Well, no, not the root of everything. Does racism exist? Absolutely. People are mean to each other and judged. What I hate about this woke movement, beforehand, I love Martin Luther King, what he was all about was saying, don't judge a book by its cover, judge a person by the content of their character. That is 100% right. But now the woke culture says, judge a book by its cover, it doesn't matter what's on inside of it. So it's gone the opposite way that we don't want. So that's a worldview we can't get behind, biblically speaking. So most of us would say, yeah, put a check mark by the bed of lies. How about no fear of God? Nobody fears God. Hey, everybody's doing good. Hey, you know. Okay, do it again. Hold on. I got lost in my thoughts, actually. Okay. All right. So not very good. Not very good. Most of us said, give it a thumbs down. You know, the fear of God is more than just respecting God. We often say that it's respecting God, and it is. It is. We need to respect God. But there is a fear of an all-powerful God that in his very essence and character is good that we should have being people who are sinful and who have rebelled against him. When we don't fear God in a proper sense, we don't fully understand how much he hates sin. And if you want to know how much God hates sin, all you have to do is look at the cross. The wrath of God is very real, and we see it with the Israelites when we look in the Old Testament. He destroyed their nation because of their sin. So there is a healthy fear of God. Like, there has probably been many times that you have been afraid of your father or mother in a very proper way, and it kept you from doing evil. So there is a healthy fear, right? The reason why, there's a lot of reasons behind this, maybe scientifically speaking, but why do you have a healthy fear of heights? Some of you maybe don't have it. When you look over a cliff and you look at that and go, that could kill me. I'm going to be very careful with what I do with my feet and my hands at this moment. Because if I'm not, I can fall to my death. And then there's that whole reason, why do we feel like we want to jump when we were there? Okay, but we could get there later. So having a healthy fear of God helps keep us doing what is right and avoiding that which is wrong. It's not a fear of God saying he's going to beat me, right? Although there is the wrath of God, right? There is a such thing as hell. God is going to punish people for their sins that they have committed against him. So we just have to take God's holiness and his justice and his righteousness and his love and grace and mercy together. They're both there. They both describe God. If we go lean too heavy on one or the other, we're going to get a distorted view of God. But fear is a good thing. The fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom, understanding. You look at all those Proverbs. You see exactly that it's a good thing to fear God. And when a culture stops fearing that there is a God and that he does hold us accountable and that there is a day of judgment, it starts going down the toilet. So those are the five signs that your country is going down the toilet. What do we do if we know it's happening then? As followers of Christ, what does God want us to do? I'm going to have the passage up here. You can look at it in your Bible. Let's look at the last part of verse 15 in Isaiah 57. The last part of verse 13 says, "But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." I'm going to explain what this means, but I want to remind us where we've been in Isaiah. This whole part, like for the last few weeks in Isaiah, going back to Isaiah 53, has all been about God's plan of redemption in a new revitalized relationship in him in the new covenant. And we saw in Isaiah 53 that was all about how are you going to make amends? How is this relationship between you and us, God, going to be restored? Because I can't do it. And we see that he's going to send the servant, who is Jesus the Messiah, to be beaten, to die, and to rise from the dead as a sacrifice, as a payment for the crimes we've committed against God. Then, in Isaiah 54, we saw, well, what is it going to be like for the Jews when the servant comes? And we talked about how the land is going to be renewed, the people are going to be renewed, there's going to be prosperity and blessing. And then in Isaiah 55, we saw what? I said, Isaiah 55 is what?
The gospel.
The gospel. Say that now. Isaiah 55 is what?
The gospel.
The gospel. That's how we respond. That's how we actually should, okay, God has done this, and he gives us these promises of the future land and blessing. Okay, so my response is to come to him in humility, in repentance, and trust fully in him. And it might not make sense to me. It doesn't, God, why are you doing it this way? It seems so easier if I just work for it. He says, no, you can't work for it. It has to be this gift that I give you because of what Jesus did. And last week we saw that the kingdom of God is available to who? Everyone. It doesn't matter what your background is, where you've been, what you've done. Everyone is accepted into God's kingdom. But God then does call you to follow him in justice and righteousness. And so now that you're living in a culture and you're wondering, okay, what do I do? I see in my culture, it's going down the toilet, God. How do you want me to respond now that I'm your follower? I'm following you. I want to do justice. I want to do righteousness. What do I do, God? And God says, I want you to trust me and believe in those promises that I had given you in Isaiah 53, Isaiah 54, Isaiah 55, Isaiah 56, all those future promises I have for you. You will not be in a society that's going down the toilet forever and ever. There is hope for a future. And he says, what you need to do is trust me. I want to just break down that Hebrew word real quick. It's really interesting. There's actually four different Hebrew words that can mean trust. And this particular one is used in a way that I think really illustrates the point that God wants us, what he wants us to do when we're in a country that has these five signs that it's going down the toilet. It's actually, it has a K in front of it, but that's just because it's this guttural sound. In Hebrew, it's kh, basically. So it's chasa. So can you guys, it sounds like chasa, but do that thing. Chasa, okay? Good job. Good job. Those of you at home did it. I love that because it sounds like huzzah, huzzah, like when you're in a round table with King Arthur. My mind goes there. I don't know why. But it does mean trust. It does mean to find refuge in the Lord or to find shelter or to flee to protection. But one of the things with Hebrew language is it's really concrete, and it brings in the five senses into the meaning of words. And this word really has wrapped around it the idea. Let's say that you were on a trail in the wilderness with a friend and you sprained your ankle and you could no longer walk. This word means that your friend would come up next to you, have you put your arm around them, and they would help you walk out of the wilderness. That's the image God wants you to have with this word. When you come to him, when you see your country's going down the toilet, you're to come to him and trust him, but the way you're trusting him is allowing him to support you, to lean on him, and trust that he will get you out of the wilderness. And this word also has something beautiful attached to it too. It has a sense of loyalty. You see God as someone you can rely upon and on whom he can rely on you as well to go to him. You see him as someone you want to follow and please and trust. And you would not be going to him if you were not loyal to him. So what are you to do when you find yourself in a country that is going down the toilet? I believe it's this. Be loyal to God and lean on him for support. Be loyal to God and lean on him for support. It means that we, as we find ourselves in a culture that's morally degrading over time, this doesn't mean we run away from it. It doesn't mean we're not engaged in it. But it does say there's going to be times where you feel burnt out, that you're going to feel weary, and you're going to need some help. Or maybe you find yourself in this position right now where you're like, I'm trying to come back to God. I've been away from God for a long time, and I feel distant from Him, and I want to come back to Him. I feel like I'm in the wilderness, in a world that's pulling me in so many ways into its lies. I want to come to God. And He's saying, come lean on me. I'll support you. I'll help you walk out of that wilderness and into something much better. And then we see in that last part of verse 13 that He points back to Isaiah 54 and Isaiah 55, the gospel. That person who leans on me, is loyal to me, trusts in me, shall possess the land. That was all the way back in Isaiah 54 about the land that God had for the people of Israel, of the Israelites, and He will give them in the future when Jesus returns a second time, and shall inherit my holy mountain. This is talking more, yes, it's talking about in Israel, God's holy mountain is Mount Zion, it's where the temple was on, but He's really talking about a relationship with Him. This is Isaiah 55, the gospel. So God says, come, trust me, be loyal to me, lean on me when you find yourself in this situation, when your country's going down the toilet, and I am going to promise you something much better in the future that you can rely upon. That is the hope He gives. So that's the takeaway. This is the takeaway I want you to walk away with today. Be loyal to God and lean on Him for support when you see the signs that your country is going down the toilet. Be loyal to God and lean on Him for support when you see the signs that your country is going down the toilet. We were singing some songs today, that just worshiping God in different ways. And one that was sticking out to me a lot this morning was, God is the lion and the lamb. When I think of a lion, I think of something powerful, something fierce, something I don't want to mess with. But when I think of a lamb, I think of something cute. I'm like, oh, come here. Oh, my goodness. I just want to hold you, right? I just want to give kisses and loves and stuff. Yeah, I have a softy side to me. God is the lion. He is someone fierce that you do not want to mess with. But He is also the lamb. The one who came in peace and died for us because He loved us so much. So when you go to God, this is going to God for support to walk through that time. But then it's also going back out in the power and strength of our God to be a light of love, hope, and faith to this world. See, one of our natural tendencies, we have two knee-jerk reactions when we find ourselves in a country that's going down the toilet. One knee-jerk reaction is to withdraw and hide from it. Let me just go in my area, my space. I won't want to deal with it. I want to just stay there. And eventually I become apathetic about what's going on inside my country. Or we come over to the other path we can walk, and it's the path of rage. I hate this. I can't believe they're doing this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And we get online and we tell people what our thoughts are in social media, and we tell them what our thoughts are, and we quote Bible passage at them, and it doesn't do any good. It just kind of alienates people. So you have the path of withdrawing and the path of rage or dominating the situation. God's telling us to walk a third path here. It's the third way with Jesus, right? You engage your culture with the strength of God, and you love Him like Christ loved the world. That's what it means to be loyal to God, to lean on Him for support when you see your country is going down the toilet. That's how you respond. What I want you today is to think about how you're responding to our culture. Are you going to God? Are you leaning on Him? Are you being loyal to Him? Because that is what He's calling you to do. And you can do it because what's that wonderful nature we have in us? It's the new nature. Let's pray. God, we worship You this morning and thank You that You are our lion and the lamb, that You are a place of safety, a place of refuge, shelter, a place where we can go to lean on and get support from You in this world that we see ourselves live in. God, there are many blessings in America, that we need to just thank you for, but we also see our country going down the toilet and it breaks our heart. Lord, help us see how we can engage in it to be a light, to be a place of truth and love, to be a place that calls people out of the darkness and into something that is so much better. Thank you, God, that you're in us and work through us and all of that process. We worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.